This appeal relates to a will contest relating again to the estate of Wayne L. Ryan, also known as Dr. Ryan. Similar to the trust case, this case terminated essentially based on the mediation that had been ordered in the other case and then a settlement agreement that was reached.
I'm not sure this is relevant to anything, but why did Judge Battaglia not handle both of these cases?
So the initial trust case was filed in 2017. The will contest was initially a probate action in Douglas County Court. It was removed pursuant to the will contest statute to Douglas County District Court. And at that time, all of the Douglas County District Court judges recused themselves. My understanding was that it related to Judge Coffey.
Somehow, Battaglia's, so.
Yes, correct. I don't know. Like I said, Battaglia's case was initiated in 2017, so it was there first. And then in 2018, Your Honor, so this case, as I indicated, was a will contest. It was removed from the county probate court into the district court. The litigation primarily took place in the trust contest case, and the parties stipulated, including Constance, that discovery used in the trust contest case could be used in this will contest. Once the settlement agreement was reached in the trust contest case, Constance filed a motion in the will contest in order to ensure that she had asserted an objection, but it was never our view that there needed to be a formal objection asserted. That objection, or that motion for leave to file an objection, was pending for approximately 4 months before the appellees and the plaintiff, Stacy Ryan, requested that the will contest be dismissed. And the district court entered a dismissal of the will contest with prejudice and denied Constance's motion for leave to file an objection in the event that a formal objection was necessary to be filed. This appeal essentially presents the issue of whether a will contest can be dismissed without any sort of either a formal adjudication to admit a will to probate or by following procedures under the probate code that allow a compromise agreement to be approved by the court after notice and hearing to the interested parties to be approved by the court to allow a will to be admitted to probate.
What do you think is the procedure in the will contest under the probate code?
I think the procedure would be to file an appropriate motion, petition, application to give notice to the interested parties, to give them an opportunity to be heard. The matter would be scheduled for hearing, and then the parties could come in and assert whatever arguments or evidence they wanted to adduce to the court as to whether the compromise.
Well, specifically, does the probate code provide for a proceeding where a settlement is tendered in a will contest?
Yes, it does.
And what's that statute?
Your Honor, I apologize. I'm so focused on the trust contest that the probate statute escapes me. But there is a specific statute that allows a compromise agreement to be reached. The statute is entitled, I believe, Compromise Agreement in the title.
Okay. So was that the procedure that was followed here?
That procedure was not followed.
You're referring to a statute in Article 24 of Chapter 30?
Yes.
Okay. So if the court were to conclude that 30-24-123 permits for a formal proceeding to take up a settlement in a will contest?
Yes.
That might be right.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And then 30-24-124, 1 through a bunch of numbers, right, tells us, does it not, the findings that need to be made and whether or not this is just and reasonable, and anybody who may be affected is supposed to be in the soup.
Right? Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Was that done here?
It was not done, Your Honor.
But is what was done here okay anyway?
Your Honor, appellant would submit that it is not. Once the formal proceeding had been implemented to determine the valid trust instrument, and there was a dispute as to which instrument was going to be admitted to probate, the only ways that I believe the probate code contemplates that it will somehow be resolved is either through an adjudication so that you determine that a will is entitled to probate, or at least a formal evidentiary proceeding to determine it's entitled to probate, or the type of formal hearing that's contemplated under the compromise procedures. So you either adjudicate it or some type of evidentiary hearing to determine it, or the parties compromise and the court can approve it following the procedures and making the findings that are required under the compromise statutes. And at its bottom, I believe that's what this case is really about. And again, I think this goes to the issue of whether the court is going to exercise some type of genuine oversight to ensure the integrity of a probate proceeding and ensuring that the decedent's wishes are honored unless there is some good reason and the court makes certain findings that those can be altered. And one of the requirements under the probate code is a finding that there's a good faith dispute to ensure that the parties aren't just colluding to try to work some type of agreement that the decedent might not have wanted.
Is there evidence in the record that the court actually reviewed the settlement?
Your Honor, I don't believe in this case that the settlement agreement was reviewed at all. In this case, they just sought a dismissal, and counsel can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe in this one the settlement agreement was put before the judge.
Is there actually a written document that encompasses the settlement agreement?
My understanding, it's the settlement agreement that was proffered in the trust case governs this too, although again, I've never seen it. Judge Battalion asked whether it was okay if I could see it, and they objected to it and said I didn't need to see it. So I've never actually seen the final settlement agreement. I saw a memorandum at the settlement conference or the mediation that took place, but the final settlement agreement I never saw. But it's my understanding it's the one in the trust contest that this will contest.
Under seal.
Was correct, yes.
But Judge Cox was never given a copy of that settlement agreement in the trust case to review? To your knowledge?
To my knowledge, I don't believe so. Again, counsel can correct me if I'm wrong, but my recollection is that it was just, they were just requesting that it be dismissed, and the settlement agreement was not submitted to the court or reviewed in any manner for approval. Your Honor, fundamentally, I believe that the distinction that the parties here have is, again, that a will contest in Nebraska law is in rem. It relates to the instrument. All interested persons are parties. The appellees have taken the view that a will contest is some type of claim. They've cited the probate code's creditor claims statutes. I believe it's clear that those don't apply. They've also asserted that the probate code has a provision in it that when a will contest is transferred to the district court, any party may file additional objections within 30 days. They read that as being a bar, that any party that does not file an objection within 30 days, apparently, as far as I can understand the argument, loses all rights in the proceeding and can't request a review. I don't read it that way. I think that it talks in terms of additional objections, and what that means is that it's intended to identify the issues that are before the court. And the issues that Constance were raising were the same legal issues that Stacey Ryan had alleged in her petition, undue influence, lack of testamentary capacity. Those were the same issues that the parties have been litigating in the trust contest, the same issue at which they had stipulated to discovery being used. There was a summary judgment proceeding in the will contest. Constance appeared. The parties argued the issues. Everyone understood what the issues were relating to lack of testamentary capacity and undue influence. The appellee's motion for summary judgment was overruled. Nobody argued, hey, Constance is not a party here and shouldn't be entitled to be present.
Well, you're speaking to 3024.29.01.
Correct.
In 3024.28, it states that any party who opposes the probate of the will shall state objections, right? Isn't that where appellees are coming from?
That provision, I read that as being applicable to the county court proceeding. So when there is an objection to the informal probate of a will in county court, there will be a formal proceeding in county court. That statute appears to apply to that proceeding in the county court. But once it's removed to the district court, then 2429.01 speaks in terms of filing additional objections. In this case, there was an informal proceeding initiated by Stephen Ryan. Stacey Ryan filed her objection in county court and on the same day transferred it. So there would have been no way for anybody else to file an additional objection in the county court proceeding because she filed the objection and on the same day removed it to the district court. So I don't think 2428 can apply. For clarity, in the county court, when the formal proceeding starts, if somebody comes in, they can implement a formal proceeding. They can ask for a formal hearing in county court, in probate court, and there will be an evidentiary hearing on it. And if that were the, and the court will set a hearing date, if that were the procedure that had been followed, then 2428 would apply. But once it was removed to district court, I believe 2429.01 applies because that's the district court procedure. I see that I'm out of time. Again, unless there are any further questions, I would ask that the court remand the case to the district court for the proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hassan, good morning to you again.
Good morning again. May it please the court. Mr. Wright, my name is still Cameron Hassan. I'm here appearing on behalf of the appellee, which is the personal representative of the estate of Dr. Wayne Ryan.
So does each and every party who objects to a will, are they required to file an objection even though they agree with the original objection that's been filed?
In a formal probate proceeding, it is mandatory, Your Honor. The statute 2428 reads, quote, any party to a formal proceeding, and for the sake of clarity, this was a formal proceeding at the time the petitioners filed their petition to set aside informal probate under, I believe it's 2425, that converts it to a formal proceeding. So any party to a formal proceeding who opposes the probate of a will for any reason shall state in his pleadings his objections to probate of the will. That is a binding, mandatory, non-discretionary. If you are in a formal proceeding,
maybe I misunderstood details here, but I think the appellant's argument is they did that.
I think that if that's the argument, I would say, where is the citation to that? Because there is nothing in the record that there was ever an objection ever filed. The best the appellant ever tried to do was a motion for leave to file an objection, which came 3.5 years after the statutory deadline to file. So 2428 starts off by saying it is mandatory to file an objection in a formal proceeding. Two statutes later, 2429.01 sub 3 says that after certification to the district court from the county court, certification that the transcript has been certified, within 30 days, any party may file objections.
Well, let's fast forward to what's in front of us. There's a settlement that was approved and under seal. And its contents may not be relevant to this jurisdictional conversation. But what should parties do in a will contest when there's a settlement that the court's being asked to approve? Do you agree there's a specific path in the probate code?
Well, Your Honor, no, not in this circumstance anyway, because there was no compromise in this case. There was a dismissal. It was a voluntary dismissal with prejudice brought by the only parties who ever filed any objection or contest the validity of the will. It was not a let's deviate from the terms of the will, let's do something other than probate the will that was offered in informal. There was a, we brought something, we're abandoning it.
But nevertheless, there's a will contest pending before a judge. It's in rem, right? And back to questions in the other case, it's in rem, and the court's got to do right by, in this case, the testator's wishes.
Sure. So here it is, following the testator's wishes means it's not an adjudication, as appellants have said. It is a determination, is there a valid will or not? That's what 2429 says is after transfer. It's actually subsection 4 of 2429.01. It says the judge may order additional pleadings, but the judge has to determine, is there a valid will? Dismissing the only challenge to the will that ever existed is a determination that there is a valid will, because there cannot be, as a matter of law, there could not be an invalid will because no one's challenging
it. How do you reconcile that with the language of 3024.124 sub 1, where this is the procedure for approving compromises, where the courts, before taking action, has to address all who may be affected, and that Constance may be affected. And I apologize if I refer to her, Connie, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. So
neither do I. I think that it's different names. I think that it's a family, so I'm sure different names get thrown around here.
But that section is what the court's procedure is, right?
If there is a compromise of the will case, there's a procedure for that. If there is one, here I'll note a couple different things. One, that's not where we are. We didn't have this in front of us. Two is that 124, is that right, Your Honor? I don't have it written down.
30-24-124-1, where the court needs to address the entitlement, if any, of all persons who, quote, may be affected.
Right.
Right?
And
must also make findings that it was brought in good faith, is just and reasonable, and so forth.
I believe what that section specifically says in terms of who may qualify, Constance does not qualify for that. Because one, she does not have any beneficial interest in the document itself. None of the children are beneficiaries under the will. They were explicitly not beneficiaries. The only beneficiary was the trust. We just talked about the trust case. So you have to have a beneficial interest. That language is in the statute. It is not just any interest. It's a beneficial interest or a claim.
Was personal property going to the children?
Not under the will that was offered for probate, Your Honor.
Was there an inference that some of the assets would be used in a manner to minimize taxes?
Your Honor, I believe that that is a tax interpretation is extremely subjective. And I think that for purposes of the wills that were offered for probate, it is everything is going to the trust. That's the case. So in terms of taxation, it goes the next step of who are the beneficiaries of the trust. As we just discussed, the only beneficiaries of the trust are the charitable foundation.
If that be the trust. But in any event, under the original will, were the children getting personal property?
Under a will that was 2004, they had the ability to get personal property. The ability to get personal property. But again, for purposes of what is before the court in the record, there was one will and one codicil offered, 2015 will, 2015 codicil. There was a petition to set aside informal probate with a contest to the validity of the will. There's a mandatory procedure where if anyone else, any party, has any objection whatsoever, must be stated. That was not stated. So when there's only one challenge, one objection to the probate of the will, and that objection is dismissed, there's no more question as to the validity of the will. There were some questions posed by the court in terms of the next steps, fair and reasonable, whether there's notice. This is not a notice case. As the court's aware, Constance has been on notice before there was ever even a petition to set aside. She filed a demand for notice in February. The petition to set aside wasn't filed until May. So any contention that there was no notice, this is just not a notice case. Here, though, under 242901, subsection 5 states that after the court makes its determination, which it's done now, there's no more contest, then it goes back to the clerk. The clerk certifies it. It's going to go back to the county court. The county court's going to look at what's before it. There's an informally probated will. That's it. The only thing the district court could have determined here, it could not have determined any distributions, which under Brinkman, which I think it's a 2021 case, Brinkman, the concept of the will contest being in rem and acting on the race has to do with distributions from the estate. This is not a case where we're dealing with distributions under the will. We're dealing with whether or not the will was invalid or not. That's all the district court could decide. So the next step is coming. The fact that Constance, even though she didn't have a case or controversy because she never filed a pleading, the fact that she appealed simply meant that before the court could, administratively, the clerk could take the next step to certify and act on the will that's probated. That's the reason there's nothing in terms of there's a fair and reasonable will, this is the testator's intent, is because the appeal was lodged before the administrative steps could be taken. So, Your Honor, I actually haven't even gotten to the point of talking about some of my substantive arguments. The court's already aware of the probate code, the necessary requirements that within 30 days there be an objection. That did not happen here. Because that did not happen here, there is no case or controversy from which Constance could appeal. That is a jurisdictional question, meaning this court cannot hear this case because of the absence of jurisdiction. There were no pleadings, there were no issues pled setting adverse positions between the estate through the personal representative and the appellant.
Did Constance file any pleadings?
No.
Did she file something that she was interested party?
She filed an entry of appearance. She filed an entry of appearance roughly two and a half years after that, filed a continuation on a motion for summary judgment, filed a brief supporting the opposition to the motion for summary judgment. Then only after learning that in the trust contest, which we were just dealing with, learning that there was going to be a dismissal, then asked the court to file a pleading for the first time. 3.5 years after the deadline to do so.
Who was Constance aligned with during the pendency of this matter?
She wasn't. She didn't enter her, I mean, she entered an appearance, but she didn't file anything memorializing her position. In the trust case, Your Honor, she was always a defendant, a co-equal defendant. And in this case, she was a kid. But all the kids were not beneficiaries. As the court knows, the issues have to be framed by the pleadings. And there was no pleading to say, here is what my position is. It just never happened. So there was nothing from which she could appeal in the first place. Your Honor, I see I'm out of time. I'll just briefly, if I may, mention the motion for leave. And then I'll wrap up. Is that all right?
You may.
Your Honor, there were two appeal points. The first one we've just been talking about ad nauseum. The second one was Constance's motion for leave. Motion for leave to amend is not appropriate because there was no pleading to begin with. Nevertheless, the court properly exercised its discretion because, as we've just talked about, there was a 3.5 year knowing intentional delay in even attempting to file something. Under the circumstances of the case, the court properly exercised its discretion to deny that motion. So for the absence of any case or controversy, for the failure to follow the probate code, and for the correct decision to deny leave to file a pleading in the first place, we'd ask that you dismiss the appeal on jurisdictional grounds and affirm the order.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal, counsel. That concludes arguments in In Re Estate of Ryan. Hence, you are excused at this point in time. And the court is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.